That's so Braven. If you don't listen to this podcast, you know what happens? You get it.
Okay. I feel good about that.
Welcome back to That's So Braven, your Corda Nerds podcast network wrestling slash random whatever I feel like talking about show hosted by yours truly, Benjamin Raven, and we are going to talk about the nonsensical crap that we are being force-fed by the WWE right now in regards to how things are being earned, how things are being put together. It's going against kayfabe, non-kayfabe, things that it's just nothing is lining up, and I understand that there are a lot of injuries and a lot of unknown at play right now, as I'm sure it is year in, year out, week in, week out. So I don't want to hear excuses, because right now WWE Raw makes zero sense. SmackDown makes more sense than Raw, and that is saying a lot right now. Let's just get right into it. This is being recorded Tuesday evening. Wow, today flew by. February 6th, it's before SmackDown, after Raw. And with everything I just said, I just want to say that Monday Night Raw was a very fun episode last night. It was action-packed. There was a lot of fun stuff going on. We opened with a great match. And let me just say with how we opened. We opened with pre-taped backstage segments with Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns. And I just got to say that I'm a big fan of that. It makes Raw feel fresh. It makes it feel different. It's showcasing the new logo, the new text, the new theme. It's just a different feel to open a show, you know, instead of that cookie-cutter 20-minute mass people-involved promo that always opens the show on the three-hour Monday Night Raw. So it was nice to get a change of pace on that. We were into an interesting match within 10 minutes of the show starting. Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns, Elimination Chamber qualifying match. I thought it was a fantastic match. My only issue was that Roman kicked out of a beautifully clean delivered Sister Abigail and then one with a shoulder tackle. So that's where my brain starts to hurt a little bit. Moving on from that, we see Finn and Carl Anderson versus The Revival. Very solid tag team match. Finn and Carl get the win. Carl Anderson gets the biggest reaction he's gotten in about a year on the WWE roster when he drills Dash in the corner with a beautiful knee slash drop kick, whatever they were calling it. Seemed like they didn't even know, but that was a solid match. There were some rumblings on Twitter that Finn might have been hurt in that, but I didn't see anything substantial to support that. Just a reminder, people, for those new to wrestling, Finn hurt his shoulder a year and a half ago. Finn will sell that shoulder injury for the remainder of his career, because that's what the WWE does. Ric Flair broke his back in the 60s or 70s and sold the damn thing for 40 years. Shawn Michaels hurt his back. They sold that for the entirety of his second run, so on and so forth. Stone Cold's knees, Stone Cold's neck. Triple H is everything, quads, I guess you can say, but let's just calm down. Look for your sources that have inside sources. Finn's going to sell that shoulder. It's going to look like he's hurt a lot of the time because he's good at what he does. So, yeah, nothing wrong with that, blah, blah, blah. Moving on, Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, Mustafa Ali, Cedric Alexander. I didn't watch it because the only 205 Live thing I care about right now is the tournament. The one thing I'm going to comment on is Rockstar Spud, Drake Maverick, excuse me, came out for commentary during this match. I do not understand this logic. Why are we still calling Drake Maverick Rockstar Putz? Excuse me. Why are we still referring to Drake Maverick as Rockstar Spud when we introduce him or when we are trying to tell you why he matters? Why aren't we just calling him Rockstar Spud if we're going to continue to use the name? You're making it confusing. You're making a confusing situation more confusing. Use logic. If he's Drake Maverick, call him Drake Maverick. If he's Rockstar Spud, call him Rockstar Spud. Not both. You know, not both. Let's use our heads on this one. That's what stuck out in the Cruiserweight match for me. After this is when Raw said, hey, fuck you. Eat this shit and enjoy it. Kurt Angle comes out and announces the first ever Women's Royal Rumble for the Raw Women's Championship at the Elimination Chamber. Oof, excuse me. God, I'm an idiot. I cannot talk today. Excuse me. It's only Tuesday evening, but it's been one hell of a long week. Kurt Angle comes out and announces the competitors for the first ever Women's Elimination Chamber match, which will be for the Raw Women's Champion. Not only do we find out that Alexa hasn't defended her championship since October, what the hell is that? 30-day stipulation, just flushing it down the toilet? But we're just going to be handed our five opponents for the Elimination Chamber match with no rhyme, no reason, no explanation. It's Bayley, Mandy Rose, Sasha, Mickie James, and Sonya Deville against Alexa for the championship at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view inside the chamber. What? Okay. What do I even say to that? There were no qualifying matches. There was no stipulation. There was no rhyme, no reason, nothing. We were just fed it and told to accept it. Not only that, but then Angle says that Nia Jax will face off against Asuka at the pay-per-view. And if Jax wins, she's going to be added to the WrestleMania 34 Raw Championship match, which is Asuka Jax versus the Raw Women's Champion. Now, I'm a little confused because we were told that Asuka could pick whatever champion she wanted, so why are they just telling us that it's the Raw Women's Champion match? I don't understand that. I thought Asuka had her pick. It's been sold to us that year. See what I'm saying? It's been sold to us that way on TV, on WWE.com, on whatever you hear. Asuka gets to pick the champion that she wants to face. Why is Kurt saying that if Jax wins, it's going to be a triple threat match? What the fuck is going on? Makes sense. There's no... Drove me crazy. Moving on, Asuka and Bayley had a fantastic match on Monday night, a lot crisper than the one with Sasha Banks, but that was mostly Sasha's fault. Sasha has just been sloppy since Royal Rumble, which is sad because she's in the middle of a heel turn, which is going to make her character interesting again, but I mean, she's almost killing herself. I mean, between the Phantom kicks at the Royal Rumble and the just sloppy dive, Big E dive, Cesaro dive through the ropes, I mean, why is she getting opportunities, you know? I guess I just need things explained to me. Why are these people in the match? I'm not going to give up on that. I am disgusted by that. We keep checking off milestones for the women's division, like Royal Rumble and Elimination Chamber and Hell in a Cell and stuff, but we still can't get stories. We still can't get logic. We still can't have common sense. We still can't have anything explained to us. We're just forced to feed it and say it's revolutionary because it's women. It'd be revolutionary if you were giving us a story to go with it. You're playing universe mode and just simulating to each month's pay-per-view. This is ridiculous. This is disgusting. This is not revolutionary. I want it to be revolutionary. I want to see storylines. I want to see rivalries. I don't want to just be force-fed shit and forced to accept it. Fix your shit and do these women right. I'm just annoyed by that. Moving on, Miz beat Apollo Crews to qualify for the Elimination Chamber. Awesome. That was one of Apollo Crews' best matches on the main roster. Thought he looked great, hit his spots. Miz made him look great. Miz is great. Miz is so hot right now. Seriously. Then we're moving on. Jason Jordan got pulled from the Raw Tag Team title rematch between Seth and Jordan in the bar, replaced with Roman Reigns, who wrestled to start the show. This is kind of out of WWE's hand, because I think Jason Jordan is actually... It sounds like he's seriously, seriously, seriously hurt. Wrestling Observer Radio noted that he kind of has a Benoit Edge angle type neck injury right now, is that he's having problem gripping, feeling with one of his hands. That's not good, because you are literally holding other wrestlers' lives in your hands when you're out there, and if you can't feel your hand, you shouldn't be suplexing people around the ring. Sounds like he could be having neck surgery soon, and so we'll see what happens. That's not good, because it was looking like he was going to get a push, face Seth, do something with Seth at WrestleMania. You know, this was the chance for him to really make a name for himself, but let's just hope that he's okay and that he's okay, period. So we'll see what happens there, but weird stuff going on. He actually came out, got physical with Sheamus and Cesaro, and got the Reigns and Rollins DQ'd, so the bar hangs on. Jax beat up a high schooler in a squash match. Deville and Mickie James had a match. Mickie won, whatever. And then we had a triple threat match. Oh, my God. Ugh, this is just so stupid. John Cena versus Elias versus Braun Strowman. Triple threat, main event. The winner gets to go in last during the Elimination Chamber. The winner between these three men gets to enter at number six in the Elimination Chamber at the pay-per-view. Why are the people that had to qualify for the match last night on Monday, February 5th, being punished? Why don't they get the chance? Why isn't it a six-man match to decide who comes in sixth and last? Why would it just be the first three to qualify? They just had their match announced first. Why would they get an opportunity over somebody else? There's just zero logic right now. And it takes away from the fun match that this was. Elias and Cena teamed up and beat the living shit out of Braun. And Elias got a goddamn pin on John Cena. So Elias is going to enter last. Why he got that opportunity, storyline-wise, I have no idea. But me, sitting here in a room in Detroit, I'm a huge fan of it. He is stepping up when guys are hurt and making himself known. And I hope he gets a chance to shine in that chamber match. Build somebody here, WWE. Use a negative and make it a positive. That's what's at play here. That's what's at play. But yeah, I just kind of wanted to cover that stuff. I'm just, I'm upset. I'm upset about what's being given to me storyline-wise right now. That triple threat match to enter number six makes no sense. The entrance to the women's elimination chamber makes no sense. There is no story for the women. Still no story. Alexa hasn't defended her title since October. Still no story for the women. I just don't get it. You've got more eyes on you than ever this time of year. Tell a goddamn story. But, that's enough ranting about Raw. My goodness. Just want a moment, give a shout out to a sponsor. I can't eat cheese. Cheese upsets my tum-tum. But guess what? Most of you can eat cheese. And you should go eat your cheese at Tom and Chi of Granville. Oh my goodness, the sandwiches this place pumps out. It sounds like they've even got some healthier options, dairy-free options, but I'm over here in Detroit, so I'm not sure. But I want you to check out Tom and Chi Granville. Find them on Facebook. Their social media is fantastic. They support us. They fed us at Grand Rapids Comic Con. They put a little change in our pocket, and you know what? They might be paying for our kind words, but they would have got it even if they would have just gave us a couple sandwiches, because those sandwiches were damn good. And let me just say that tummy ache at Grand Rapids Comic Con for the grilled cheese with chips and barbecue sauce on it, completely worth it. So yeah, moving on back onto the wrestling stuff. That is where my head's at with Monday Night Raw right now. There's a lot of stuff messy. And it's kind of disappointing. It's kind of disappointing to see that, especially during this time of the year. I don't know. I guess Asuka's challenging the Raw Women's Champion. I guess the five women that are in the championship match at Elimination Chamber earned it somehow. Maybe we'll find out someday. I think that Paige injury really messed things up women's storyline-wise, but that's no excuse for just saying, fuck it, feed it to them. But, you know, we're past 20 episodes here on That's So Braven. This is my 20th episode. I wasn't on the one a couple weeks ago pumping up the Royal Rumble the day before, and that's okay. I just kind of wanted to give my backstory a little bit. I am not in the wrestling industry. I am a lifelong fan. I am 29 years old. I live in Detroit, Michigan. I have been obsessively watching, reading, and studying professional wrestling since probably 1997, 1998. You know, I was 9 or 10 when the addiction really, really sank in. And I never want to come off like an expert. I never want to come off like someone who understands the work that's being done in this ring more than the wrestlers or the people backstage or the people putting it together are. I've seen just about anything and everything that there is to see, good and bad, major to indie. I've seen it in person. I've traded VHSs online. I've bought DVDs. I've YouTubed. I donate Patreon money to Matthew of Botchamania. You know, I listen to something to wrestle. I do everything wrestling, you know? And I just like to give my opinion on it, you know? I'm somebody that talks. I'm somebody that writes. I'm somebody that tweets. I'm an everyday journalist, trending news reporter for M Live Media Group based out of Detroit. I cover the auto industry, I do all that kind of stuff, but in my free time, I play video games and read comic books and I watch wrestling. The wrestling thing has been the constant, the most major constant outside of basketball in my life. I remember getting hooked on Saturday morning shows and that progressing into begging my parents to take me to shows, and I saw house shows and Monday Night Raws at Van Andel Arena, some of the most iconic Monday Night Raw moments in history, for some reason have happened in Grand Rapids, Michigan and Detroit, Michigan. We got pretty lucky with those. I've been to WrestleManias. I've been to pay-per-views. I've been to NXT TakeOvers. I drive to Toronto for shows. I've been to Ring of Honor shows. I've seen New Japan in the U.S. You know, I've done a lot of stuff, and I just want to give my perspective on it. I find myself someone who truly understands the business as much as you could, as an outsider could. But that's what I am. I'm a fan. I'm an outsider. And I'm a freak. And you know what? I'm going to use my social media platform and my platform with the Court of Nerds to talk to you guys about wrestling, give my opinion, talk to wrestlers, talk to promoters, bring Drew and John into it, bring my coworker Matt Durr from MLive into it, and I just want to kind of state my wrestling story. But that's enough about me. I wanted to tell that just to lead into this. I want to watch more wrestling. I want to rewatch the past. I want to relive things. I want to explain things. I want to give my take on things that you guys want to hear. And whether that's putting a poll on Twitter or Facebook or on my personal Twitter or Facebook and just having people vote for things, kind of something to wrestle-esque about what they want to hear me talk about, I'll do it. I'm not Bruce Pritchard. I have not worked in the wrestling industry. So just take that with a grain of salt. I've been watching pretty obsessively. I've seen the 80s, I've seen the 90s, I've seen the 2000s, I've seen the 2010s. Pretty much anything that's happened in that time period. So if you want to hear me talk about a show, a certain wrestler, I'll study the living shit out of it and I'll talk about it. I'll go over my favorite matches, my least favorite matches, how it holds up. I'll put together watch lists for you. I'll go over that. I want to give you guys what you want to hear. I want to inform. I want to bring to light. I want to show you things that you didn't know existed yet in the world of wrestling. So that's kind of where I want to leave this episode. I know it was a quick one. I wanted to talk about Monday Night Raw and some problems I'm having with the direction as we head into WrestleMania season, as we take on the Elimination Chamber and then the Fastlane pay-per-views. We'll see what's happening there. Storyline-wise right now, we really need to see some things start to come together. But yeah, like seriously, guys, I want to talk about any promotion, any era, something that you're confused about, something that you want to hear broken down further. Like seriously, I'll do 20-minute episodes like this one. I'll do two-hour-long sit-downs with Drew, John, Austin of the Geekiverse, or Matt. Like seriously, I'm looking for more things to do. I want to know what you guys want to hear. So tell me. I'm on Twitter at Benjamin S. Raven. We're on Twitter at Court_of_Nerds. We're on Facebook, The Court of Nerds. I'm on Facebook, Benjamin Raven. I get that nifty blue check mark thanks to my everyday job, so I'm easier to find with that. Benjamin Raven. You'll be pretty easy to find that. I want to hear from you guys. I want to talk about what you want to hear. Let me know. We're thinking about doing a little Wrestling 101 podcast where I field questions from Sledge, and he's someone who does not know anything about wrestling, so I want to just sit down with him and have him ask questions about things like face, heel, and why did this happen? What did this happen? Was this real? Is that guy really hurt right now? What's selling? I want to go through things like that because wrestling has done so much for me, and if I can bring it into other people's lives, then awesome. But that's about enough about wrestling right now. Yeah, that's about enough.